Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of the Griff Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm your host, the Griff God.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
Hotep to the chat. Hotep to the Hotep of Stannies.
Hotep.
Don't worry.
We got Sonny Johnson and Mo Fax in the house tonight. Welcome, welcome, welcome all. What up, Sonny? How you feeling?
I am good, bro. Ready for fire conversation. You know how we do.
Absolutely. What up, Mo? How you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good.
Dope.
I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I had to lay out the outfit like school clothes. I was waiting for this one.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this conversation started because of a tweet here from Sonny Johnson. Sonny Johnson says, there are two ways to keep the issue of race on the forefront. Number one, make it the main issue surrounding everything. That's the Democrat way. Pretend it doesn't exist, the Republican way. This isn't smart or anti-woke. It's insanity. 60-plus years and still expecting different results. Then Mo reached out and said he would like to have a conversation with you about this. Mo, why did you find this tweet compelling enough to say you wanted to have a public discourse surrounding this topic?
Because of the bravery of it. I mean, we in peak Griff season, and most people are scared to spook. They heard, quote unquote, heard. I mean, no disrespect, but for her to take that stand, I'm like, okay, we got to talk, because that's kind of like where I've been at with it, you know. So I just wanted to, you know, two like minds, or see where we could be, have some synergy on the topic.
Nice, nice. Okay. Sonny, dive into, you know, your thought process behind this and what motivated you to tweet that.
Oh, it comes from the Booker T. Washington quote that there are those in the Negro race who don't want the issue of race to go away because they get paid from it. And I'm paraphrasing. The right likes to use that quote to call out the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons, so forth and so on, right? And say to them that y'all want to keep the issue of race in the forefront. And y'all do that because y'all make money off of it. And we can all look at that and say that there is some legitimacy to what they're saying. But if you go back and you look at when Booker T. Washington actually made the quote, there were no Black Democrats. So he was specifically talking to Black Republicans. And he was saying to Black Republicans that you are straying on this issue of race and you need to rethink the way you are looking at it. Because back then, the Black Republicans of the time, most of the politicians are just like the politicians of today. They're lazy. Right. So if you were Black and you didn't want to have a real job, but you still wanted some kind of status, you went into politics or you went into the pulpit. And that's how it was. And so those are the people that Booker T. Washington was talking about. He was talking about those people that either go into the church and promise dreams that don't actually come out. You know, or and people in politics who didn't actually build or create or really fashion any new industry for Black people, but wanted to be at the forefront of all conversations. So when Republicans today use it, and of course, they don't understand the historical context, they don't understand why it was said, what it meant. When they use it today, again, they're using it strictly for the Democrats, but they forget there's a second way to be able to, there's a second way to keep race issues at the forefront. And that is to act like race doesn't exist, to think that you can talk about American history without mentioning race, or American politics without mentioning race, or socioeconomic statuses within America without mentioning race. You cannot do those things because our history is steeped in the idea that race exists. So I don't care if you're looking at it now like it's a spectrum or a social construct, whatever. It is American historical context. And without that context, most of our history loses its meaning. So when you're trying to erase that, or you're trying to belittle or demean or take the light away from that, you are just as bad as the ones on the left who want to make everything like math, science, and baths about race.
Mm. Well, how do you respond to that?
How I respond to that is that I've been on the race conversation since I've been doing this for almost 5 years, because I understood that's the greatest catalyst, that's the greatest motivator, and that's how this country was built. Abraham Lincoln said this country was built as a nation for white men, and that was supposed to be the great emancipator. So for that to be said, it's a disingenuous conversation to say we need to be colorblind. We have to, and as you know, I'll say it so much it keeps my teeth white, that we live in a system of white supremacy, aka the one world government, aka the establishment, aka Western culture, whatever you want to call it. But when you say that, it makes people uncomfortable. Why? Why does that make people uncomfortable? So that's how I respond to that. But, you know,
And can I add, because I like to add on to what he says, because he's not wrong. So if you're talking to the right, they will start talking to you about how they built the West, right? You got to put some respect on white people's name, because we built the West, right? And we're like, all we're saying is, okay, yes, you built the West. Look how you fucked it up. You fucked it up by introducing concepts of race. You fucked it up by highlighting and leveling up your own interests instead of the a mixed pot, you know, kind of interest of all Americans. That was your creation to do that. And you cannot simultaneously say that we as white men created the West and then get pissed off when we say, okay, yes, you did, but you also created elements like racism. You created elements like racial hierarchy, you know what I'm saying? Systemic racism. Like, all of these things came with your creation of the West. You can tell this when they usually talk about slavery, and they want to be like, well, back in the day, you know, everybody participated in slavery, and anybody could be a slave, right? There were black people who had white slaves. There were white people who had black slaves. There were white people who had Muslim slaves, and Muslim people that had white slaves and black slaves. Like, anybody could be a slave. It was a matter of the weak versus the strong. It wasn't until you came along and your Western ways made slavery about race and separating us and taking strength as a measurement on just the melanin in our skin. That was your creation, right? That wasn't the world. It didn't do that. Every society before you didn't do that. That was strictly a Western creation. So if you're going to take credit, white man, put it on your shoulders. This is one of those things you need to say, okay, along with your credit comes your creation, and you created this structure that we are dealing with now. And you have to be, and white people should just be able to admit that and say, yes, we did, and we fucked it up, and this is how we fucked it up, and this is how we can go. And not, I'm not talking about how the left does it in terms of, oh, let's, you know, get rid of all kind of metrics of grading kids in school because it's white supremacy. That's not what I'm talking about. But it is how you center your history, how you center your ideas or your belief or your upbringing as the only one that is relevant or that actually matters. That cannot stand anymore, because just as much as white people built America, black blood went into building America, black brains went into building America, black ingenuity and innovation went into building America. So though there is no aspect of America that white man can claim alone. If it wasn't for black men, y'all wouldn't have been able to do what y'all accomplished.
I want to make this thing interesting.
Can I piggyback off that 1 minute? Because, like, she hit on some great points. This one, like, 1 minute.
Go ahead, yeah.
One thing we had to understand is when they play this game, that's feigned ignorance. They understand race. They understand the reason for race. They understand that there are 13% of the world's population. That's why they created the system of white supremacy, and that's why they had needed America to be a nation for white men. And I want to make something clear before we go any further. I always distinguish there's white supremacists, there's white people, and there's non-white people. That's the only three groups of people there are. Now, they understand that they're 13% of the population, so actually white supremacy is the original DEI. Let me say that again. White supremacy is the original DEI. They said regardless of what your capabilities are, there will be a place and a space for you. So when you start to talk to them
when
and say-
When you say you mean white people.
I'm talking to white supremacists.
Yeah, but you're saying white supremacists are saying that to white people.
What do you mean? Ask that question again.
What you just said. Sure. Repeat what you said. There will be a place for you. When you say there will be a place for you, that place is, you're talking about there. It's for white people.
White people, and when you come here, you have to become a white supremacist. And that's the problem we're having now because white people are trying to pull away from the white supremacist ideology and say, hey, we just want to be white people. We want to be fair. But that's unacceptable. And that's why you have what you call the red whites. It's because they say, hey, let's just be fair. Let's start fresh. And white supremacy is saying, no, there is no fresh. We need a system of full-fledged dominance and confusion. And that's the only way they can maintain power in this world.
All right.
This is where I have issue, right? This is where I have issue. Why the hell wouldn't they do that? Right? Doesn't it make sense for them to do that? Doesn't it make sense for them to build countries where they are safe and able to defend themselves, like you say, if they're only 13% of the population? And in that same regard, if we're looking at us being 13% of the population in America, and we're watching this group that is 13% of the population dominate the entire fucking globe, why can't we be the 13% that dominates here in America? Right. So like the way I'm looking at it is I could understand why white people found it necessary to build and grow the way that they did. Right. And also have to acknowledge they was damn good at it. Right. They got to the point where they were ruling the entire fucking globe, where there was no cluster of the world that you could go to where they didn't have some kind of control or domination. Right. Now we look at this. And we say, oh, evil white people, instead of being like, huh, did we not learn anything? Did we not pick up a couple of little nicks and pennies along the way that'll show us how to make sure that it never happens to us again? Like, we are never in this position of falling into a minority oppressive status when we can be superior. Forget what our numbers are, because we're not looking at our numbers. We're looking at our ability to dominate, our ability to create, our ability to grow, our ability to take over. So white people always didn't rule the world. They decided at some point that's what the fuck they wanted to do, and then they went about the business of doing it. And I don't understand why we can't look at it and say, huh, why is that not a blueprint that we can follow? That we can take that exact same blueprint that built white supremacy and do the exact same thing with Black America.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I'll say this one thing is that the Black American is in a unique position to understand the white man's plight because, like you pointed out, we're 13% of this nation. So we understand what it's like to be outnumbered in the greater whole as they are in the world. So I totally agree with you. And I'll even go as far as say they're the smartest people on the earth. I have, like, this thing with me is not emotional, it's logical. But what I will push back against to them and not you, Sonny, is that they can't be benevolent. It's this thing like we're all good or how they got it. No, you didn't do it with all goodness and flowers and hugs. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of misery and pain because this is the thing the game they want to play. Like, yeah, we did it, but we did it differently. No, you did it just like anybody else did it. You know, so you got it, you know, you got dirty with it. Just accept that. And when you point that out, they'll say, no, we didn't do that. We did, like, you know, so that's the point. Like, it's get weird when you want to point out how they did it.
They want all the success without taking responsibility for any problems that they created.
Correct. I couldn't put it better.
I want to make this interesting. Okay. We're going to debate today. Yatu versus me. I want to make this interesting. Okay. You guys brought up a lot of great points. A lot of great points. We got a $20 super from Kamar Daniel.
Oh, this is a real hotel, brother.
Shout out to Kamar.
You ain't gonna tell us what he said?
He didn't. He didn't say anything. He just said he just dropped a super.
Well, shout out, bro.
Shout out to Kamar. So I hear a lot of white people complaining. I heard something I didn't like. That was white people are the smartest people on the planet. How do you substantiate that claim?
I was going to push back on that, so I'm going to let Mo handle that one.
You said, how do I substantiate that claim?
Yeah.
Who runs the world?
That don't make them smart. They just make them ruthless.
Well, ruthless, it has to be some intelligence to pull it off.
Yeah, I ain't saying that intelligence isn't there. If you have two people of equal intelligence and one has morality and one does not, the immoral one will be willing to do things that the moral one would not. And that's constantly where we find ourselves. And when you were saying about like benevolence, everything they did in the shadow of benevolence, right? Everything they did under the guise of missionary work, right? So we're going to send our missionaries. Our missionaries are going to come and start talking to you about God, but they're also going to peek that you got gold reserves in your country. And we're going to send our businessmen right behind the missionaries once we find out what the fuck you got in your country to steal. So a lot of their benevolence came at the front end and was hit in the back end with their ruthlessness and immorality. And again, it wasn't about building a stronger world. It was about them understanding their position and making sure that they had a dominant space because their numbers were so limited. But then at the same time, they had this knack for stealing from everybody else. So as they traveled the world, and we're saying that it was no corner that they didn't go to, a lot of their intelligence was garnered by the intelligence of others that they accumulated, and not their own individual intelligence. So were they the most intelligent? I would say no. Were they some of the best people at collecting other people's intelligence? Without a shadow of a doubt. And they did that using a lot of immoral methodologies to do it, when certain things like just studying together or just sharing science or sharing math would have been sufficient. That wasn't enough for them. And they just went to steal and take it all. So that's what it was. It wasn't a gauge of intelligence. It is a gauge of morality and how you look at your fellow man.
Can I respond, or Hotel, you gonna respond?
Go ahead.
All right, so keyword I use is smartest. Two, if a person's able to con you out of something, that means they actually are smarter than you, because you can't pick up on you being conned. And their number one tactic is actually confusion. So if they're able to confuse you, you might be more intelligent than them. And this is where we see it with white people versus white supremacists. They're confusing the white people. One, with gaslighting. Two, with information overload. Three, with ambiguity, shifting the goals and feigned ignorance. It confuses. And that's their number one tactic, is to keep the whole world confused. Just like, I'm just going to go here, brush here lightly, but what we see going on in the Middle East, we see two sides battling, but both sides are asking the same power for aid. See that confusion? That's straight up confusion. And if they're able to pull that off, I have, being a logical person, I have to put my emotions aside and say, hey, they're smarter than me. Does that mean, now this is where we get into the weeds and we gotta be careful. Because that, when people interpret that, they start to think genetically that they're more intelligent. No, what they do is they put a governor on everybody else's intelligence to keep it down and suppressed. It's not that we're not born as equally intelligent or more intelligent. It's that they have the ability to keep us so wound up with all this confusion or information overload that we can't actually go to solve problems. So I want to clarify intelligence and being smart.
So it sounds to me what you're saying is smart is classified by a specific toolkit of skills. One of them being deception and thievery. And you're basically taking the spectrum of what smart is and saying that if you can do this little sliver, then the rest of it doesn't matter. The rest of being smart doesn't matter. Smart is just being able to get over on people.
Yes. I'm going to give you two case in points, two names, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg. Neither one created what they actually control, but they were smart enough to beat the people that actually created it.
That can be said throughout human history for a myriad of things, right? And even though if I see some of what you're saying in terms of having the intelligence to know that you need other people's intelligence and looking at that as being smart, right? I'm not going to give a lot of credence to that because all you know is that you are dumb, right? And that your level of intelligence is not going to sustain you, right? And so if we just look at America, right? After the Civil War, in the South, the white people were completely poor, right? They were dirt poor because their entire economic structure had collapsed. While a great many of the poor white people prior to the Civil War wanted an end to slavery because it was crowding out their ability to have job opportunities. Once the war was over, now there was no real industry to provide them those opportunities because a lot of the people that were in charge at the front end were no longer there. Their family wealth had been wiped out. They had moved west or their family had been killed in a war itself. And then along come Black people. And Black people are like, look, not only have we been slaves on this jump, we learned this jump. So we know how to turn the soil. We know how to rotate crops. We know how to grow different crops in different areas for different yields. Like, we understand the science of the science. And because of that Black intelligence, the South was remade in terms of agriculture, right? Even now, you don't have white people that want to acknowledge not only did we build the South twice. I mean, not only did we build the South once, we built that bitch twice. And neither time could the South have been built without us. So again, it is a matter of understanding what intelligence is. And if your only link of intelligence is that I'm not smart enough to know shit, so I need to go and steal from other people, I don't mark that as any kind of intelligence or being smart. You know what I'm saying? You're just very, very immoral. And would I say that about Zuckerberg? Sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not giving morality passes to these people. But a lot of times the people who have the original idea don't have enough intelligence about them to understand they don't have all the pieces themselves to be able to bring that idea to fruition the way an outsider would. And when you have that outsider who is willing to steal as opposed to bringing the person with the intelligence in and letting them be a part of it, not only because it's the right thing to do, but because it's the intelligent thing to do to have the person that actually came up with the idea become a part of the process, I don't mark that as intelligence or being smart. You can put it as conniving. You can put it as dominant. You can, like, there's a lot of different words, but intelligent or smart would not be adjectives that I would lend to that perception and usage of power.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't use intelligence and smart as synonyms. Another thing I would say is this. Is that Bill Belichick was smart enough to read the rule book and see what wasn't in the rule book. And he exploited that. a second point I want to make before I turn it back over is if you actually talk to a real white supremacist, I mean a real hardcore scientific white supremacist, he'll tell you, hey, I'm a Nordic. I'm not meant to toil in the soil. I'm a manager. And this is written throughout history. They'll tell you this. I know how to exploit others to get what I want. So I'm not tying any morality or anything to this. I am going to the source to understand the source so I know how to deal with the source. And as you, if you look at the Diary of Economic Hitman, they don't go in and they go in, they say, what are these people's vices? How can I manipulate them? They give them plenty of their vices. They get them into usury and then they exploit them. So if you're smart enough to con a person, what do we talk about here? Morality? That's why I said that's my point with the white supremacists. You can't take the moral high road and use immorality to get your gains. You know what I'm saying? Don't, because that's confusing and that's not fair to me. Just be honest. And I think that's why this go to Trump's point is Trump said, if we're coming there, we're taking the oil. I like that. I like when you talk like that, because that's what you're going to do anyway. You're going to go there and take the oil. So at least be honest about why you're going there. It's not to bring aid or build water wells or any of that. We're coming for the oil. Cool. That's honest. At least you're honest and you're not confusing me.
If white supremacy wasn't a thing, wouldn't something else fill that spot?
Of course it would.
So why are we talking about something that would exist in perpetuity?
I'm talking to the ones that's got the power right now. I'm not talking about hypotheticals. I'm talking, like I said, to who has the power. You know, straight to the point.
And if it's a constant,
more and more that power is fading because they've squandered it. They've tried to take the ability to consolidate it and to their little small group and think that that was going to withhold itself, and it's not going to. And you see every single structure of their system starting to crack as you see China starting to grow, as you see Africa splitting a lot of its any kind of work with us, as you see South America beginning to pull away as well. We're looking at this thing where they were operating under this form of globalism. And this is something that I got when I was talking to you, Hotep. How long can it be called globalism if none of the rest of the world is playing along? If it's just you and your 13%, right? If it's just you and what you look at as the West. So it's just Europe. It's just America. Canada ain't fucking with you. Mexico ain't fucking with you. South America ain't fucking with you. Africa ain't fucking with you. The Middle East ain't fucking with you. Asia ain't fucking with you. Or the ones who do fuck with you don't have any actual power to flex on that relationship. You don't have globalization, right? And I think that white people, that's what the West, that's what we are waking up to, right? And that understanding, that realization, you cannot be policemen of the world. You don't have enough money to spread all over the world. You don't have enough troops. You don't have enough guns. You don't have enough weapons. No matter how much we have, no matter how much you get the military industrial complex cranking up, we do not have the ability to remain the policemen of the world. Too much of the world has caught up to us in terms of how to produce, what to produce, why to produce. We've given them our science. We gave them our supercomputers. There is nothing that we have that makes us that extraordinary force in and of and away from anybody else's ability at this point. And you can see this now. Well, how Putin is flexing, like, y'all do understand we have nuclear weapons, stop fucking with me, right? And we have to take that into consideration, because we're only the big dogs because we got nukes. But what happened when we fighting another dog that got nukes? And that's why it's such a problem. That's why China is such a problem. So I think that they're losing their grips, and only we are looking at them like they have still maintained their dominance. They're not. This is why they are begging us for money for Ukraine. They're begging us to prop up and make it continue to look like this system that they have is still running and still in control, instead of just admitting that the shit failed, pulling back as a nation, fixing our shit, and getting ready for round two, because round two is right around the corner. And I promise you, that's not going to be won by white supremacy. It is either going to be won by America, that's all of us, or all of us are fucked. And that's just the way it is. Because ain't what European army going to come and march to meet us? Like, who going to help us? So, like, we have to stop pretending that the white supremacy, quote unquote, of the United Nations Foundation is currently what we're looking at today, because it's not.
Okay, so can I respond to that, or
go ahead?
I don't. I'm asking because I don't know how to understand the order.
No, go ahead. It's your world.
She brought up China. If China was in control, then gain of function labs would be built in America by China, not American labs built into China.
Hold on. First of all, we have China. Hold on. Thank you. Thank you. Tell him.
Like, China has police stations here.
Thank you.
China is sending their refugees over our border right now, and we don't know who or what the fuck they are. They control all of our medicine. They control all of our electronics. Like, what the fuck do you mean if China was in control? China is in fucking control. Now, as a matter of can they maintain it, that's going to be a question for us to answer by how we respond. But there is not. China is buying up our farmland. We can't go buy no farmland in China. China is buying up our single family homes. We can't go buy single family homes in China. China is buying rare earth minerals from us that we ourselves cannot even mine in our own fucking country. So, like, you cannot look at this spectrum and think, well, if it was the other way around and if China had control, yo, China is eating our lunch three ways from Saturday. And the first thing on their list is fucking TikTok, and they can't even get that shit right.
So you saying China is eating, once again, you're saying China is eating our lunch, and like I said, I didn't want to take it to this, you know what I'm saying, where we're going.
But, hold up, Mofax, hold up. Yeah. Hey, yo, chat, clip that. Clip that. Somebody clip that. Oh, man, what's the timestamp? Look at the timestamp. Write the timestamp in the chat. Oh, my God. Whew. My bad, Mo. That was fire.
Yo, we took our oil reserves that we got cheap when Trump refilled our oil reserves. We took our oil reserves that we paid for when gas was cheap and sent it to China on a discount. Our oil reserves, while motherfuckers in America was paying $7 a gallon for gas, we were taking our gas and sending it to fucking China on a discount. Like, you cannot, like, stop.
So do we believe that America, which is part of white supremacy, is dumb enough to shut down its pipelines and turn its power over to China when energy prices were at its lowest, energy was at its most abundant, and that wasn't strategically done? See, this is the cognitive dissonance that we deal with. On one hand, we say Joe Biden knows what he's doing when he does what he does, but it's like, oh, white supremacy is dumb enough not to be doing what they're doing. Which one is it? Is it Uchi Wally? Is it One Mike? Is it Black Girl Monster?
I never said Joe Biden was anything, and nor do I think Joe Biden is running anything. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm looking at success, the success is we don't have no fucking oil. We don't have no oil reserves anymore. And if we go to restore them, we're going to have to pay them at full. We're going to have to pay for it at full market price from wherever the fuck we get it from. And that's only going to be from people that do not like us, because ain't nobody that's our ally pumping out oil in no large and vast amounts willing to just give it to us on the cheap or on the fly. We are talking about a country that just flew a fucking hot air balloon over every military institution in this fucking country, and we fucking let them. This is what, like, if you are looking at this in terms of cognitive dissonance, I am looking at a country again where you are looking at where they are thinking the white supremacy of the past is going to be proficient and prolific enough to carry them into the future. And that is a total misjudgment and mischaracterization to what the fuck is going on. So if I put it to you like that, what I would say is that the majority of those people that are making those, that are making these deals and making these moves in our government currently, I bet you they have a secondary residence in Asia in one of them countries over there. So when the shit do pop up, they gonna be up and out of here faster than a motherfucker, and we gonna be the ones left to deal with the outcome of whatever happens. But I don't see them staying here. Even if you're looking at how many of them are moving to Hawaii, how many of them are moving to Singapore, how many of them are moving to Malaysia, they are building permanent residence in Asian countries for a fucking reason. If they thought that America was going to be the stand-all be-all, they would not be doing that. On top of that, if you look at all of the top Fortune 500 companies, the majority of all of their CEOs have been dumping their stocks out of the stock market over the last 2 years. Billions and billions and billions of dollars in shares. If you do not think these people understand that something wicked this way comes, you are not paying attention. They are very, very aware. And by the time everything pops off, they're going to cash the fuck out and be about their business, out on their business, while we are left here to deal with the consequences.
Bo, I'm going to give you I'm gonna give you 2 minutes uninterrupted, bro.
All right. One thing I want to... Sonny, were you aware that you said we let them?
We let them what?
You said that. A lot of stuff you said, we let them do this, we let them do that. That means that... So will you allow somebody to do that who actually has the power? The person doing it or the one allowing them to do it?
Are you kidding?
I'm asking.
The person doing it has the power.
Okay. All right. And then two, with this weather,
if the person on the other side didn't like what was being done and they had the power to stop it, they would have stopped it. We didn't stop it. We actually sent our jobs over to them. We sent our factories over to them. Like, we did this. And so this is for me to say to our government, our politicians, our people in charge, you fucked up playing this globalism game. You thought this shit was going to work out and your benefit because you saw numbers on the stock market continue to rise. And that was your only gauge, not the actual health of the economy, especially in small town and middle America, and how that was being affected by these changes. So whether you're looking at Republicans who did it under free market-based principles, or you're looking at Democrats who did it in a spread the wealth kind of scenario, both managed to achieve the same fucking thing. And that was hollowing out the economic centerpiece of America and its ability to have an economy that actually creates a middle class. And that's why now our middle class is formed off of debt and not off of products produced or shipped out to other countries or sold on the market, so forth and so on. This is why they have relegated us to a service economy instead of a production economy. So they have hollowed out our ability to have a American middle class. And the only reason that middle class is sustained right now is because we keep throwing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars on top of it, trying to prop up the gaze that it still exists and that it is healthy, and it is not. And what I am saying is, if you want to call that white supremacy, I don't give a fuck what you call it. I don't care. It is 100 years of progressivism. Hotep will start taking you back and talking about the federal banks and monetary systems from the founding of our country and the structure. Like, every single one of us might start at a place different when we're having this conversation about where we are economically now. But where we are economically now is, whether you call it progressivism, whether you call it white supremacy, or whether you call it global banking cabal, whatever you want to call it, it has been a failure in terms of keeping the American economy healthy and thriving. When you have an economy that produces between $4 to $5 trillion every single year and still run the kind of debts and deficits that we incur as a nation, it tells you that something fundamentally is wrong with our country. Yeah. And that is us trying to sustain and pretend the modern day middle class can stand on its own without government spending. And so right now, the only thing that is keeping the guise of quote unquote white supremacy up is first and foremost, people still value the dollar, but if that collapses, we are over. Secondly, the American people still have some conceptual connection to our founding principles, our founding documents, and we still are, to some extent, willing to fight and believe in those documents. And lastly, they can print money. And they can make zeros appear out of nowhere. And for some reason, looking at how much just the interest cost on that debt is going to do to our overall budget doesn't even scare them in the least while they're doing it. So once any of those things change, whether it be the American people no longer believing in the system no more, the global community no longer believing in the dollar anymore, or our economics, just the spreadsheet just never, ever being able to make sense ever again. When one of those three things happen, America's economic system crashes and we as a nation fall.
Bars. 20 gifted memberships from Loki.
Oh, this is a real hotel, brother.
Shout out to Loki. Rudy the Vet. 19. We got basically, that's a $20 super. The white race is only superior at warfare. From the Vikings to the British to the Germans, the white race has dominated warfare and weapons. They have been attacking with superior weapons for the last 500 years.
And that's all they need. That's all they need. And we're under, I think where the disconnect is, we're under an impression that they want a strong middle class. They understand that a strong middle class is their worst nightmare. That's why they gutted the middle class where they did ever since the 1970s up to present day, because they understood if we let the middle America, the flyover country, all these terminologies they use for it, actually get on a good, strong economic foothold, then they're a big problem. We have to have these.
Why would it be a problem for them?
Because they got to have their hoes living hand to mouth. This system of white supremacy is a system of gangsterism and thuggery. As Rudy said, all they understand is killing. That's it. Everywhere they go is killing. And they are, and RFK Jr. told you, he said, we have weapons that they can dial in down to the genetic code. That if we want to get rid of whoever, the Chinese, the African, the Indian, the Pakistani, the Arab man. We can do it, and we can do it today.
They got the gene. COVID, they got the gene gun.
That COVID was just a warning to the world. Like, oh, y'all thought nuclear was something. Y'all thought nuclear. And another thing before I go there, everybody got nukes, but only the white supremacists will use it because they're not built to be number two. They said we will blow this bitch up before we be number two. If everybody, it's a game of chicken.
I do not think that white people are the only people on the globe that we.
I said white supremacists.
Even in that group, I don't think that they're the only group. I think that there are a lot of different subgroups of different people all over the world that would not give a flying to use nuclear weapons on people that they consider to be their enemies. I don't think that that is specifically a white-only trait. You know what I'm saying?
And they're saying do it then. They're saying do it. You got them, use them. Bust your gun.
Like, this is my thing, right? So we're looking at a people that say they have a hierarchy on violence, right? They have some kind of
lizard brains.
You know,
lizard brains. They have lizard brains. It's flight or flight. Fight or flight to them. That's it.
When it comes to their ability to inflict violence, right? So if that's the case, right, I'm happy I live in a country that allows the Second Amendment. Anybody that is pushing against that Second Amendment is someone that I don't understand. If you're looking at white supremacy and you're looking at them as being so dominant in the field of violence, that should be something you learn. If you are dealing with a violent person, you must be willing to be just as violent. And again, when you look at how they look at Black America these days, and they want to assign us the label of violence, I think that a lot of them have lost their ability. If you can say maybe the people at the top, you know, the people in leadership, the people with access to the military, they are different than the average white American. But I think a lot of the average white Americans have been so trained to turn their violence over to the police, right? So they don't handle their own violence. They have been trained to let others handle their violence for them. And then when you look at Black America, we have realized that you can't turn that ability over to other people because more than likely those same people will turn that back on you. And that's just not a way that we've been able to function. So when you look at a lot of the violence that you see in Black America now, it is because we have to inflict our own violence. We don't have the same structural system to call in others to handle our violence or to look and treat our situation and scenario fairly in terms of making sure some kind of justice is pulled out on the other side. And then they take that position that we have been forced into and try to use it back against us as a negative. And what I will say is, again, I believe round two is coming. And all of you people that believe that someone is going to come and save you because you don't understand how to inflict your own violence, you're going to be on the short end of the stick. And if you're looking at how the top echelons of white people have turned the bottom echelon of white people into weak cowards, when it comes time to really protecting that 13%, you're going to be working with minuscule numbers because the majority of your people are too afraid, or they're turning their hair blue or calling themselves a tree or a cat or a monkey, depending on what day it is. They're going to be so confused by what you have done to them intellectually. The entire system of white supremacy, like I said, when you have a vast majority of progressive white people who don't even want to be white anymore, then you fully start to understand that this whole hierarchy that they have created is crumbling. It deserves to crumble, but it is also crumbling because of their inept failure to actually include all Americans in the paradigm and just wanting to center themselves. And that's where they find themselves now.
I think that's why they're not smart. I think that's exactly why they're not smart. Like the same thing you say.
Because the same thing you say is the thing that acquires power is the same thing that man has tried over and over and over again and keeps failing. That's why the average lifespan of these empires is like 250 years. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you never even sustain power. You get it. You do a lot with it in that short bit of time. You do a lot. And you know what happens at the end? You lose it all. It's like the brother that goes to the NBA and he gets all the money. And next thing you know, he working at Ruby Tuesdays because he just blew all his cash.
But the right thing to do is,
you know, like the smart thing to do is, you know, it's like you include people that you like the Zuckerberg situation. When you include people and you do right by people and you compensate them for their time plus a little bit more, it starts to snowball and you start to create better bonds and better relationships and have healthier relationships as human beings. The issue with human beings on this planet is we keep devolving ourselves to the lower nature and equating that with smart. But when we rise to our higher nature and do the higher things, because people mention Mark Zuckerberg and it's just like, all right, that's just one example. People don't talk about Jeff Bezos and his wife being the CFO brain of the operations and starting from just selling books. There's a whole lot of examples, and he's kicking fucking Zuckerberg's ass. Zuckerberg is nothing to Jeff Bezos. Like, Jeff Bezos controls fucking everything. So that's just a poor example, you know. And Jeff Bezos is an example of somebody who, in business, maybe stepped on some toes, but he's not known for that, right? Who else we got? You got the brother, the black billionaire nigga that own the Weather Channel. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways to acquire power and do good by people. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to equate smart with, oh, he got over, da da da. Because now you losing it all. China is the greatest example of how white supremacy is a huge myth. It's like you went in. You got in, you took control, you installed communism. That wasn't even an American thing. So America didn't do that. You can't take credit for China. You never had China. Russia had China. And China was able to first remove the British, then they basically removed Russia and did this in like 100 years.
Yeah,
like that's a great, like it's like they breaking records of becoming an empire.
And we came along with like, hey, why don't you take our computers, our supercomputers? Hey, why don't we give you third world status so you are able to operate in a different set of rules than America has operated? And even right now, while China has arguably either very, very close to us or even a bigger economy than us. Everybody is kind of debating on what it is, but it's close enough now that the fucking debate exists, right? But even with that being the case, they still have designated third world status, which means a lot of policies.
Excuse me? They have what?
Designated
third world status.
By who?
The world government, the World Economic Forum. Not the World Economic Forum.
White supremacy.
The World Economic
White supremacy.
Banking system. Yes. So they are able to get loans at a lower percentage rate than us.
Economics,
when it comes to how they calculate the tax code coming out, how they structure a lot of their deals when it comes to manufacturing, a lot of that, they are given a special status because America wanted to help these third worlds to actually flourish. China took full advantage of it. And even now, and this is one of the things that Trump was fighting against when he was president, because he says it's not fair. We are trying to compete with them, and they are equal in size, but they have all of these economic incentives and They are basically in a better global economic presence because of their status than America is. And they
America runs on China.
Economically than we do.
America runs on China.
Yes.
That's parasitic.
We pimp them out. And now they run everything.
Who's the parasite?
White supremacy. I mean, y'all can say WEF, IMF, the stab. Y'all have all these catchphrases, the Illuminati, the Masonic Order, the Knights Templar. What's the other one?
Knights of the Golden Circle.
Yeah, the Knights of the Golden Circle, the Crown, the British monarchy, whatever. When you can establish and say, hold on, let me cook for a minute.
Let him cook for a minute.
Whenever you can say one body can determine another body is a third world country, and that body has to come and get special DEI privileges from the aforementioned body, okay, one is supreme to the other. The white supremacists understand if China ever gets his head even close to our foot, we'll blow this planet up. We'll go into our minds, 2, 3, 4, bunkers. We'll go into our bunkers. We'll wipe this bitch clean, and then we'll come out in about 7 years, and then we'll just redo it again.
Everything you said is hypothetical.
That's foreign policy.
Hold on, Sonny. I just want to make sure I heard him clear. You said they're going to wipe the planet clean, go in their bunkers, and come out when? How many years?
7 to 10, 20 years, how long it ever takes.
All right, 10 years. So they come out 10 years, and they're going to come out, and then they're going to rebuild this shit again?
That's exactly what they want to do. Because honestly...
Wait. I just want to understand you really fast. What does this look like? Are they bringing, 50 slaves per liter in these bunkers with them? Because when they come out, are they going to be the ones digging and toiling the soil? Are some of these slaves going to be in the bunker with them? What does this rebudding of human life look like?
Utopia, Valhalla, the Garden of Eden.
So who's going in the bunkers?
The Chosen.
Okay, and they have workers?
Whoever can afford to build a bunker and whoever they allow in that bunker. And the thing is, this
but
is
who are the
policy.
Workers? Who is going to be the working class? That's what I'm asking you. When they come out, who is going to be the working class?
What do you mean who's going to be the working class? Whoever they take in the bunkers with them. Because the thing
okay,
is,
so they're taking some of the working class is going in the bunkers with them.
Of course. Right. You think I'm trying? You think I'm trolling?
I just want to understand. I just want to understand.
What I need to do is lay out how I see this, because you're taking bits and pieces and you're just running on tangent with
Massa. No. Can I get in the bunker, Massa?
And guess what? The same way those Afghanis were hanging on. Hold on. Let me finish. Hold on. Let me finish.
How do you debate? Do I say, okay, and then Superman is going to fly from Krypton?
No.
How the fuck do I debate what you're saying?
Hold on, let me speak for a minute. I'm glad you used the term debate, because I laid it out clear on social media, and I put it clear on social media that this wasn't a debate. This is supposed to
it's
be
not.
No,
it's
no,
not
it
a
is
debate.
Because it quickly became a debate, because you turned it into a debate, but I'll still rock with it. But what I'm saying is, this is not Mo's policy. This is foreign policy. They have seed banks. They acknowledge that 2 miles underground with every kind of seed they collected on the earth. They let you know
you said Superman coming from Krypton.
And then the Spider-Verse is going to open up, right? And Miles Morales is going to bring 300 different variations of Spider-Man, and they're going to be equally spread out across the globe, and their web is actually going to be a fertilizer that allows the land to be replenished and the water to be cleaned, right? And then Godzilla is going to come up out of the water, and he's going to purify everything with fire, and then we're going to be able to start back over at zero.
That's what you sounded like, Mo.
Yeah.
That was you went galaxy take on us with that one.
No, because it says right here, the Svalbard Global Sea Vault, known as Dune Day Vault, is located on an island above the Arctic Circle between Norway and North Pole. Now, tell me why they're collecting 930 varieties of food crops and putting it 2 to 3 miles underground. What are they preparing for?
Because we have literally... The humanity has literally destroyed the variations of produce and agriculture that we have had.
But why are you burying it underground?
When we came to America, there were close to 300 different variations of the apple. Mm. At this point in America, you now have 4 to 5 different variations of the apple because of commercialization and how they have used commercialization to basically pick out what they consider the sweetest, the strongest growing, the fastest multiplying variations of apples, and those are the ones that get planted. So there are all of these plant observatories that keep the seeds of a lot of the variations.
2 miles underground. 2 miles underground
that we have let slip out of natural discourse across the entire globe.
2 miles underground. Hold on. 2 miles underground in the Arctic Circle is where they're planting it. Who sound crazy? 2 miles underground. But like I said, once again,
where
I realize I'm gonna acknowledge something.
Where else are you supposed to put it? Where else are you gonna put it?
Why would you put it 2 miles underground? But like I said, we're going.
Wait a minute. So they're gonna take the seeds and plant the seeds in the nuclear ground.
Where are they planting the seeds?
Can I get my 2 minutes though? For real.
Get your 2 minutes. Go ahead. You got 2 minutes uninterrupted. Go ahead.
Because I want to explain to people what's going on here. We jumped a lot of points here. One, you said white people are taking white people down.
Okay,
because they're...
I'm gonna take a break real quick. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. So one point was made that white people don't want to be white. What's happening right now is white supremacy is putting their people through the thresher because they can't determine who is the wheat and who is tare. On the other side of this, the people that want to be transgender and all these different don't want to be white or whatever else, they will not be moving to the future. That's why they want to use eugenics to get rid of their genetic code. This is why they're attacking the children so young. The whole point of white supremacy is to eliminate these quote unquote weak white people that are ashamed of being white before they reproduce. They've been doing this since the late 1800s. This is just another variation in this. They let it go on for so long that they had to have a thresher now. And what they're doing is they're applying pressure like they do, one, to make the people that were dormant racist be openly racist. That's why you see these videos of black people attacking white people and they run it, to bring out that racist code to say, oh, you truly are racist. You are on our side. Great. And if you aren't, then you're not on our side and you side with those non-white people. That's the whole point. And on the backside of this, what you have is a stronger white race. Like Jay-Z said, less is more and it's plenty of us. That's how they look at this. I'm going to say that again. Less is more and there's plenty of us. They don't want any weak soy boy, snowflake, all these terms they use. They want strong, hardened, beef-eating, carnivorous white people in the future. It may look the opposite, but white supremacy works out of the bag of confusion. This is why it's confusing to people the way this is. Just like they say, ow, China uncle, you got my arm behind my back. Why? Because Chinese actually has a lower birth rate than we do per capita. They say we play the long game. We'll out long game the Chinese. Another thing the white supremacists look at like this. Yeah, we might fall by all other great empires, but we'll be the last empire. We'll be sure of that because we'll blow this MF up. We'll disease it with all kind of bioweapons. We'll poison it with chemical weapons to where it won't be inhabitable anymore. This is how they look at it. You have to listen. What's it? Naval Harari. Listen to these people at the WEF when they speak. They're saying exactly what I'm saying, but they do it more articulate to confuse people. That's why they do it. they make it sound appealing, but they say we need a smaller race. We need a smaller human race. Going back to China for a second, it might sound I'm rambling, but I'm not. The Chinese had gunpowder way before the white supremacists knew about gunpowder. But the white supremacists want to say, you know what, we can use this to shoot out projectiles and murder with it. So it's not about technology.
The Chinese created the projectiles first.
What I'm saying is as a weapon.
As a weapon, correct.
As a weapon, that's what I'm saying. They use it for fireworks.
The white man didn't create the first projectile weapon. The Chinese did.
On mass scale?
Yeah, they used to have cannons.
On mass scale. Because if it wasn't that case, then we'd be sitting under Chinese supremacy right now, not white supremacy. And it just, it baffles me.
Nah, the white man just made the cannon smaller. He was like, oh, that's a good idea. What if I made it smaller?
that's how he thinks. What I'm just saying, that's how he thinks. Yeah, how can I make murder more effective? And that's his whole mentality. And the thing is, you can't beat a person like that. You cannot bargain with a person. And the Arabs try to do it with the vest that go boom. I'm not going to be respectful of your platform. And that was the ideology. You say, if I'm going, I'm taking you with me. But the white supremacists say, you know what? You want to take it there? We'll take out a million of y'all that didn't really do anything in Iraq just to show you how wicked our game is.
So
and go ahead.
So Democrats and Republicans trying to bring it back here. How do they fit into this whole grand design of white supremacy? What is their purpose?
Good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop. Okay.
To boil it down, make it simple. Mm-hmm. For instance, the crime bill.
Who's a good cop?
The good cop is the
liberals.
Yes.
And bad cop.
Because really, because the good cop is the one that gets you. The bad cop comes in and smacks you around the phone book, puts his knee in your back, and then the bad cop goes out and the good cop comes. Let me say that again. The bad cop comes in, smacks you around with the phone book, puts his knee in your back. The good cop comes in and says, hey, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Sits you down, straightens you up, give you a Newport. Now just look, I'm trying to get you out of here. You know what I'm saying? Just tell me what happened. And then you talk to him and then you got life.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the whole point of it. But it's two sides of the same bird. And like I said, it sounds jarring because I say it so plain and matter of fact, because that's how it needs to be said, because people are under such a mind control that they need to be shook and shot into reality of what's going on. These people don't care about the middle America or none of that. China didn't happen by accident. What they did was they gutted the economic power of middle America.
How do we maneuver ourselves in this political arena of Democrats and Republicans? If there's good cop, bad cop, isn't the participation screwed either way?
What you have to do to maneuver is to make your familiar unit the strongest that it can be. I've always said you start in the house. First, you start with yourself. This is what men are orders about. You know what I'm saying? What are you doing? You're working out. You know what I'm saying? You start with yourself, making yourself stronger, making your son stronger. I'm sure you're taking them to the range. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking for you, but you and your wife strengthen your bond. You strengthen your family bond. Then you go to your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, your church family. You work your way out into the community. Everybody wants to go online and make these political statements, but it's not working. You have to start in your home. What does your children think? You arguing with somebody online and the same pipeline out you argue with, they're pumping poison into your child's room. You see how that works? You know what I'm saying? They have you occupied on Twitch, you know what I'm saying, clickety clacking away at the keyboard while they're pumping in this ideology that actually rots your home from the inside out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sonny?
But hold on, I got one question. Why is it when a black man said he crazy, but Alex Jones said he's spot on? You know, he's a revolutionary. Oh, he you know what I'm saying? Like I'm saying the same thing Alex Jones has said, and it's saying all I'm saying is he says Illuminati and the globalist, and I say white supremacy.
I mean, first of all, Alex Jones is crazy. He said on Joe Rogan he's retarded. So that's Alex Jones. Okay. Alex Jones is Alex Jones. So, you know, if you saying Alex Jones said you not crazy, it's like, oh, I asked the crazy person, am I crazy? They said I ain't crazy.
I didn't say that. I said one person would listen to me and think I'm crazy, but hear Alex Jones say the same exact thing and say he's a prophet. That's what I'm saying. One to one.
But y'all not really. I didn't hear much of similarity between what he says and what you says. This morning, somebody sent me a clip where he was talking about, you know, black people are killing white people. So, you know, you're saying that it's white people that's killing black people. So y'all definitely not saying the same thing.
What, when I say, hold on, say that again.
You're saying that white people are killing black people. Alex Jones is saying black people are killing white people. Y'all got two different narratives right now.
No, I'm saying that black people are killing black people, and they're highlighting the fact that when one out of the 10, because they say the rate, right, is 90%.
But you said it's white supremacy. So that means white supremacy, right, is kicking your ass.
Whose, right, ass? No, you're saying white supremacy is kicking my ass? White supremacy is kicking everybody's ass. The way they're kicking the black man's ass is weaponizing the black man against the black man. Like I said, when I wake up, I don't fear being hauled off by a pickup truck full of a bunch of rednecks. You know what I'm saying? What I fear is actually looking at another black man the wrong way. He feels disrespected and he taking my life. That's an actual logical, real scenario. When I do the calculations, that's more of just like with white people. They say, oh, fear the black man. You see these crazy black people jumping on. Well, no, because guess what? Black people are nine times more likely to kill another black person. Now, y'all have some spillover. It's a thing called white sacrifice y'all experiencing. Yeah, the white supremacist got to make it look good. He can't have it 100-0. Yeah, he got to have it, you know what I'm saying, 100-10. To make it look competitive. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what it is. And they fall for the white sacrifice because guess what? The white sacrifice initiates that dormant racist programming that's inside of them. As soon as they start seeing that they're taking the L, that programming creeps up. And it just happens so fast.
I don't think it's programming.
What do you think it is?
When you back a dog into a corner and you don't feed him, that's what the project is.
I said the white people. The white people, the racist.
You said the programming in black people is making black people kill black people.
Yes.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I don't think it's the programming. The programming is an add-on, but the first part of it is the fact that the projects is basically the equivalent of backing a dog into a corner and not feeding him. At some point, he's going to bite and he's going to find a way to eat.
Well, we've been backed in the corner for a long time. The problem is when you actually use actual real propaganda, like hip-hop music, to dehumanize other people that look like you to the point where it's a game. Oh, I'm up two. I'm down two. I'm up two. This is an actual little video game which was prophesied
hip-hop
by...
Hip-hop sales is down, Mo.
No, the influence
hip-hop's
is up.
Hip, I don't know about that. The sales is down. The music is down.
The influence is up because...
I don't even know if the influence is up. The streamers
can I explain to you? Can I explain to you my logic? Why? I mean, because when I say something, it's always backed by logic.
Country music is on the up. I gotta be honest with you. Country music is on the up.
Right.
And Beyonce when just dropped the motherfucking country album. What's the name? Just dropped a flute album. You gotta remember, black people started boots and big buckles. before you know, black folks had hip hop. We were creating all the other genres. So people saying it's hip hop, and I'm like, I'm asking my daughter who her favorite artists are, and she's saying people like Rod Wave. She's not saying all these people that y'all see on social media. I think that the issue is people on social media do things for clicks and views, and people grift off of that. They go, oh, look who just bent over and was shaking their ass, and it's like, oh, that's Sukiyana. Like, it's a music video, right? Like, whatever.
That's why I'm saying the influence.
But that's not influence. That's not real influence.
Once again, I'm saying the influence is up because they can influence children to play this. You can call it what you want to, but when I watch the local news, I'm seeing young men kill other young black men and go straight to the studio and self-snitch for clout. Is that real or is that fake? And am I living in a fantasy world?
Now, you kind of, go ahead. I'm going to let you cook.
No, because what I'm saying is I'm not talking about big or artists and all. No, it's been decentralized because have the artists.
So the white man made him snitch on himself?
Of course. Because he gave him the platform. I'm going to explain to you why. Because he gave them the platform to self-snitch. If the white supremacists didn't want drill rap, you wouldn't be able to find drill rap on any social media platform. No, what they do is they bump it up with the algorithm to put it in front of you. That's how they actually, you know what I'm saying, they give it gas.
So what you gonna do about these Republicans, man? What you gonna do?
What you mean? What I'm gonna do about the Republicans?
What you gonna do about the Republicans, man?
Well, I don't understand what you mean by what I'm gonna do about the Republicans.
What is your thing as far as, you know, Republicans are concerned? Like you said, you got to start in your own backyard. You know, how do you plan on cleaning it up?
I think we can learn some things from some of the quote unquote conservative or Republicans, because they've been on this prepper thing ever since Y2K.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They've been on this when they thought the lights were gonna go out in Y2K with prepping. With arms, with being self-sufficient, this kind of thing. So I think we can learn a lot from them. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't play
it's
this.
It's election season, Mo. We got to get to it. It's November's right around the corner. It's going to sneak up on us. No. What is the message to voters and people, and how are we maneuvering ourselves this election?
You are the change you want to be. That's my message to them. Donald Trump ain't gonna save you. RFK ain't gonna save you. Joe Biden ain't gonna save you. Big Mike Obama ain't gonna save you. Kamala Harris ain't gonna save you. Ain't none of these people gonna save you. The only thing you can do is become more self-efficient. One thing I would tell them is, yeah.
Mo, so the reason why I'm asking you this is because Sonny's message to you was, I want to read it again just to... Mm-hmm. You know, bring everything back into focus. There are two ways to keep the issue of race on the forefront. Make it the main issue surrounding everything, Democrat. Pretend it doesn't exist, Republican. This isn't smart anti-woke, it's insanity. 60-plus years and it's still expecting different results. Right? So what I'm saying is, how do you retort the Republicans? How in that regard? What is
everything you say? Everything he's saying is the Democrat playbook, though.
I haven't said anything that's the Democrat playbook.
If you go by the tweet that I put out, it's to make race the center of everything in every conversation. So if black men don't like another black man, it's white people's fault. And black people don't have no autonomy to just be like, you know what? I'm black and I don't like that black person. No, we don't have that autonomy to do so. We only don't like that black person because the white person somehow indoctrinated us into doing so. So it removes any agency from us at all, right? Which again is why I guess he thinks that white people are the smartest people in the world, because black people can't have their own agency. Everything we do, every way we move, every way we think, every way we react, everything we do is completely controlled by the magic white men with the strings on their fingers, right? And it's not just us. The magic white men with the strings on their fingers control the entire world that exact same way. And our problem is that we don't look at the white men that have the puppet fingers, and we don't blame them for everything, right? We don't, if we can say, okay, this black person killed this black person, that is a causation from white supremacy, then what the hell does that mean about our own agency? And again, we cannot be as honed in on violence as white people can be. That's why it's just obvious that it's not our fault we're killing each other. No, no, no. And like, these are the things where I don't understand. How, all right, I guess this would be my question. How do you fix things that are internally wrong within Black America and white supremacy caused it all, controls it all, dominates it all, and then pretends that it's not even there? And this is what I liken it to. Like, you tell a person the fire is hot, but when you go next to it, you're going to start to feel cold. Don't worry. That cold is just a reflection of how hot the fire actually is, right? So you have to find the counterbalance between getting too close to the fire that you burn, but not close enough that you freeze. And if you can't figure out that exact spacing in the middle, then you will forever be a victim to the fire. And you're like, that, none of that makes fucking sense. And that's how I feel about what I just heard. None of it makes sense. Do Black people have any mental autonomy of our own?
Of course we do.
Okay. If we have mental autonomy of our own, when does that autonomy shut off for white supremacy?
When you become indoctrinated through the mass media.
So am I indoctrinated?
I would say yes.
How am I indoctrinated?
Through conservative viewpoints.
How am I indoctrinated?
China. You said, that's all I heard come out your mouth is China is the bad guy.
Because it was literally the conversation that we were having at the time. And like right now, you just switched to China when I asked you a specific question about Black America.
No, you asked me how you were indoctrinated because you bought
you
every
said,
conservative talking
you
point.
Said
you bought
that
it.
I am indoctrinated. Yeah. I would like to know how I am indoctrinated.
I just explained to you every.
No, you
brought up China earlier, and that's why we were on the subject of China. She
but
didn't
my,
bring
my point
up
was
China.
This. No, this is what I'm saying. The fact that
you
how
said there
I
were
say,
no Wuhan labs in America. And she was like, not only are there Wuhan labs in China, blah, 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 blah. And she listed you China's influence in America. That was literally a
and
part
then
of the discussion.
I get blamed for saying China when he started. You see? And this
no,
is how
what I'm saying is your response to everything was China. It was not the Republicans. It was not the
this. He can bring it up. And if you respond, then it becomes indicative of how overarching white supremacy is. It doesn't matter that he brought it up. It
no,
doesn't matter
what I'm saying.
That you are responding. It all becomes indicative
you asked me a question.
Of the point that he made. Like,
you
how
asked me a question.
Make
hold
sense?
On. Listen to what I'm saying.
How is any of that logical? None of that is logical. And again, I would like to go back to exactly how I am indoctrinated by white supremacy, because I really would like to understand my own indoctrination.
That one, yeah, we got to throw that one out, Mo. You got to give us some more. If she's indoctrinated, no, you got to give us another one.
I'm trying to explain that because every one of her problems stems from China.
No,
listen
that was
I'm
a
saying.
Separate conversation. You brought
no,
up China. You
I'm
literally
saying.
Say there was,
I'm
there was
I'm
no Wuhan
to,
labs in China. She said,
if y'all let me get 10 words connected together without being interrupted. And I want to point out to people, this was a back door. I just want to say that right now. This was a back door. It was supposed to be from a conversation to Hotep versus Sonny to Mo to a 2-on-1 with Mo because Hotep had to go get his big homie because he was saying I served him up last time. I just want to make that point.
I asked Hotep to do this because anybody that watches me or knows how I do understand I would have cussed you out like 50 minutes ago. Right? That's the reason that Hotep is here because I would have stopped you a long time ago. Like, you are logically making no fucking sense. And if you are going to tell me that I am indoctrinated by white supremacy,
I would like to know how. And you cannot bring up a conversation that you started and I responded to prove that I am indoctrinated by white supremacy. So again, I would like to know how I am indoctrinated by white supremacy.
Because you don't have a your whole viewpoint and worldview comes from the Democrats are bad and the conservatives were good.
You are a damn liar. Do not lie on my name. If you don't know where my viewpoints come from, say you do not know or ask me a question. Do not go out and put where my viewpoints come from like you know them, because you obviously do not. So again, where is my white supremacy? What is my indoctrination on my white supremacy? I would really love to know this.
So I'm going to get Ashley to finish the sentence.
No, you're not going to lie on me.
No.
If you wanted to know why Hotep is here, Hotep would have stopped this. But since you brought it up, he's not stopping it. And now you're getting what you would have got without Hotep.
I'm going to explain something to you. Just because you talk loud don't mean you're right.
And just because you I'm talk loud don't mean I'm wrong. And you are running from what I asked you. I asked you a simple question. Answer my question, please, Mo.
I'm trying.
You get 2 minutes uninterrupted, Mo.
I'm trying.
You get 2 minutes uninterrupted. Go.
Anytime any person's viewpoint is one side is all bad and the other side is all good, you're playing white right.
Hey,
Hotep.
What did the tweet say that started this entire conversation? What did it say? Was I saying one side bad, one side good?
No.
Have you ever heard me say one side bad, one side good?
No.
Majority of the time that I spend, who do I talk about?
Republicans.
Do I talk about Republicans more or Democrats more?
Republicans.
Try again, Mo.
Well, okay.
Hold on. Try again. 2 minutes uninterrupted.
If he lied, I'm interrupted.
So you're going to determine when I lie and you just gives you the license to interrupt.
You are talking about me, so you damn right I will determine when you lie. Go, Mo.
Okay. I'm going to try this one more time. Whenever I got to a point to say it's the system. One thing, the reason why I know that you're indoctrinated by white supremacy, you don't like the term white supremacy. That's one thing. You explain white supremacy to a T, and then when I actually say it, it's you're saying you find it triggering. So that's one thing. That's a clear example of why because I understand when you take the bag from Republicans, you can't say reparations or white supremacy.
Wow, see, Hotep.
I'm just saying that that's a
she's given. So that's another instance where you lied on her, you gaslit her.
You just
gaslit her. You gaslit her saying she's for reparations. She's not for reparations.
Once again, y'all not listening.
Can't. He just accused me of taking a bag from Republicans. And so because I take the bag from, who is a Republican that I took a bag from, Mo?
So you speak for free?
Yes, Mo.
You get on the radio and speak for free?
Yes, Mo.
Oh, well, that's not very capitalist of you.
Oh, you switching now.
So let's not be as conservative as I thought.
You might not be as conservative as I thought if you're
speaking for free.
Mo. No. See, here you go again. Here you go again, bro. I've asked you a question. I've asked you 50 different ways. You lie. You gaslight. You dodge. You do everything but answer the fucking question asked to you. So please, again, because, like, if you wanted to talk about my ideology and what I believe as a conservative. So my first and foremost as a conservative is the idea of the individual. You take care of yourself first. You take care of your house, your spouse, your kids, your immediate family, and your immediate group first and foremost. If I'm indoctrinated by white supremacy, then it sounds like you are too, Mo.
Damn.
How I want, let me shape this. Thing, can Mo? I shape this really fast? Let me shape this
but
really fast.
You said the same thing.
I just want to show the people that just got here where the current argument came from. And basically, Mo just now said she's triggered by the term white supremacy. But prior to that, Sonny Johnson said they like to make it a main issue surrounding everything, which she said that Mo sounds like a Democrat because everything that he says is about race. So
you know, everything he says is about white supremacy, and that's the only thing.
I came in saying that.
Yes.
Right.
I also made the distinction as to what Mo would look at as progressivism. And what Mo would look at as white supremacy, I would look at and call it progressivism. Mm. And you can go and search my record of how many times I have said, instead of keep saying white supremacy, call it by its actual ideological name, which is progressivism. Mm. So it is not that I get triggered by the words that you use. It's that I use a different word that actually has a political ideology attached to it. Mm. So in a political world, which I navigate in, I use the correct terminology for the field that I am in. Mm. That is progressivism. And you might call that white supremacy. I might call that progressivism. Like I said, Hotep might look at it like the banking structural system or however he wants to frame it. And we all might have a different name for it, understanding we're talking about the exact same system. I literally said that in this show right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
The point that you say progressivism exclusively, I say that it's the progressivism and the inverse of that. That's my point. I don't say it's the Republicans or the Democrats. I say it's both sides is the problem, and they're working in the orchestrated.
Fire is hot. Did you know that ice is hot too? Fire and ice is hot. If you try to argue with me over fire and ice being hot, then that shows that you hate weather. You hate temperature. You don't like evaporation. If you want to argue with me that fire and ice are not both hot.
I want to talk to the chat really fast. We're going to take a quick intermission, a quick segue. I seen somebody in the chat say, this conversation is getting ratchet. And I don't like comments like that. And I want to explain why. I want to explain why. You know why? Because that sounds very feminine. It sounds like you got to say pause after that. That sounds really homo. No, black people have a spectrum of communicative expressions. Okay, write that down. A spectrum of how we express ourselves. And what we won't do is we're not going to bring that pilgrim shit to black people. You keep that pilgrim
that
shit.
That what?
You keep that
no, no,
pilgrim.
No.
That what?
You
keep that what?
Can I, no, let me finish. No, no, hold on. Let me finish what I was saying because I'm talking to chat. This is a segue. This is my show, damn it. I'll mute both of y'all motherfuckers. this pilgrim, this Puritan culture, this respectability politics to the Hotep platform. You want respectability politics, you go talk to the red whites or you go talk to the blue whites. I don't do that respectability shit over here. Over here we cuss, we yell, we scream, but at the end we hug it out. Somebody might leave with a bloody nose. That's how we do it over here. If it's too bloody and it's too gruesome, why don't you go to the milquetoast shows where you don't never get the truth, where all you get is propaganda.
When you come over here, you get real and you get it raw. If you don't like it real and raw, then you go over there with the red whites. You go over there with the blue whites. Let's set the record straight. No bitch assness allowed. All this bitch ass shit in my chat. Talking about shit ratchet. Shit need to be ratchet. I've been saying for a long time, Congress is a little too calm for my liking. They just up there and everybody just getting along. Ain't nobody got a bloody nose or nothing. You go to South America, you go to Nicaragua, you go to Africa, they throwing blows. You go to the Arab countries, they kicking over chairs and shit. If your Congress ain't kicking over chairs, your Congress don't give a fuck about you.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
That's facts. Now let's get back to the regularly scheduled program. Like I was saying, Mo, I just want to explain the ambiance of this conversation to the chat. The issue is there's a lot of gaslighting. You did that to me in the last debate. There's a lot of gaslighting here, and I'd like to address something that you gaslit me on earlier. You said publicly on Twitter, this was not a debate. Nobody really expected a debate. We expected a discussion. Second thing I like to point out, you said that I went to go get my big brother.
Big homie.
My big homie. I went to go get my big homie so we could tag team you. Pause. Right? That's what you said. But I'd like to clear the air before we continue this conversation. So what had happened was Sonny had tweeted some shit, some pure fire. You recognized that fire and you hit her up and you said, I would like to have a short chat with you because I believe you and I agree on a lot of things. Sonny says, I would love that. I saw your interview with Hotep. I'd like to chop it up. Right? I'm going to go to your text messages. Right here. Sonny said, I think we have a great conversation to share. Would you be okay with Hotep hosting our conversation? I have no problem with that. And then that's when we schedule. You text me. You said, or did we, where did we communicate? Oh, no, you sent me the text message. You sent me the text message showing you the back and forth with her, right? So now the issue is Hotep Jesus set all of this up so we could jump you. This had nothing to do with me. You hit Sonny up. You wanted to have a conversation. Sonny knew where the conversation would go if Hotep Jesus was not involved. She said that 5 minutes ago. Let me finish. She said that 5 minutes ago. She said the only reason why this is here is because I knew where this conversation would go if Hotep Jesus was not here because I needed somebody to stop me. She watched our debate. She listened to it. When you said you'd like to have a conversation with her, she said, oh, hell no. I need somebody to fucking stop me from killing this nigga. So let's frame that up. And it's because you keep gaslighting and you gaslight me talking about I went to go get my big homie. I don't need my big homie to slaughter you in a debate. You slaughter yourself. You have no points. All you do is gaslight people. And that's why I'd like to bring you into this conversation where you can provide some substance, but all we get is deflection and gaslighting. And it's unfair, especially to a woman, to accuse a woman of being indoctrinated and then follow it up with gaslighting. You said, yo, you indoctrinated. How? Because you said China, China, China. But Mo, it was you that brought up China and you were wrong about it. You said China has no labs in America and everybody knows China had labs in America. So not only did you gaslight her, you were wrong. And then now you then what you did was you played victim.
oh, Hotep Jesus, you set this up so y'all could jump me. I came here to chill, and you said some nutball shit, and fucking Sonny took your head off. That had nothing to do with me.
Once again, why would she feel like she was going to take my head off when I came and saying we agree on a lot of things? How would that be? I'm going to take his head off. We talk if we agree on things. That logically doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I watched you with Hotep.
I came under the premise to discuss what we agreed upon.
No, I watched you.
And I kept trying to bring that back too, Mo.
In that last interview, and so I knew what I would be walking into. And again, this is funny, right? So now the chat, like, okay, I know it's ratchet because of me, and y'all know I don't give a fuck. That's how I am all the time. But here goes, right? The chat got me ratchet. He got me as a white supremacist. So
I never called you a white supremacist.
Oh, if I'm indoctrinated by it, what the fuck does that mean other than?
We all are.
No.
We all are. If you listen to the mainstream news,
You owe that to yourself, right? You keep that for yourself. You wear that as your armor. You put that on as your weapon. You do that. I ain't got nothing to do with white supremacy at all. I don't fuck with it. You can fuck with it. You can play with it. You can make it the center of your conversation. You can do all of that shit. What I specifically focus on is systemic racism. And that is racism that is actually written into legislation, practiced through regulation, or carried out through taxation with an enforcement wing of the government. That's where you find me. I'm in that systemic racism space, right? This outside thing that you are talking about, I don't play in that area at all because it doesn't have any fruition.
That's my point. You can't play in that area because you know you'll lose all your fans. If you ever say white supremacy, you will lose all your fans, not just 200 of them.
White people are superior. They're the smartest people. We have no mental autonomy. And yay. Like, that's what you got. And it's like, if I don't buy into that, then it's somehow I am the one that is indoctrinated. Like, that is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my entire fucking life. And to think, I will put this on everybody who has ever listened to me, ever watched me, ever saw how I move. When have y'all ever seen me need anybody to help me handle my business?
Never.
When have you ever?
I said he needed you.
Nah, I doubt that. Everybody know Hotep. I'm just saying, for that to be levied. When he did me a favor because I don't stream and he got the setup and all of our people are here for the Griff Report anyway, and it should have been a fire dynamic conversation. You call me indoctrinated. You call me a grifter. Hotep, I like, God damn it, am I going to make it to the grifting charts? Because evidently I'm a grifter now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, every single chance you get an opportunity to strictly tell me what it is you mean by what you said, it ended up with you calling me a different name. And when I say no, what you're not going to do is call me a liar. What you're not going to do is impugn my character. What you are not going to do is shit on my legacy at work. Then all of a sudden it becomes a problem as well. So, like, nah, I don't play that. And I would like to ask, for the last time, what exactly makes me indoctrinated to white supremacy? I'll get an answer
this time. You got 120 seconds uninterrupted, Mo. Go.
The way you're indoctrinated by, and anybody indoctrinated by white supremacy, is when you buy into this one side is going to fix everything and the other side is the problem. Like I said before, when me and Hotep actually had a chance to talk without being interrupted, it's a game of good cop and bad cop. Now, why are we getting offended when on this platform, everybody's called a grifter when they're grifting through the guise of politics? But when I say it, it's certainly offensive. I don't know. You know, so I thought this was a free speech platform where we could
say. There you go. You switch it.
That was 120.
You diverting yet again.
Let him just go. Let him make a fool of himself.
Nah, I think I made my point. Like I said, this is a back door. No. This was a back door. That's why I explicitly.
Just let him cook. Just let him cook. The question is how is everyone indoctrinated? One of the points that you said was when you say one side could help and the other side can't or something like that. I think that's what you said, right?
I said when you say one side is the problem mm-hmm. and the other side can fix all of the problems.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And not say, you know, both sides are the problem equally.
Mm-hmm.
I am a political atheist. I don't believe in none of this bullshit. Only the individual can fix their problems. If everybody took that viewpoint and stopped looking for a savior and becoming their own savior, then we would work our way out of this problem. But the fact that everybody's looking for, oh, go vote for 45, he's gonna fix it. Oh, he's coming back. Or, oh, we gotta stop the biggest threat to democracy. You know what I'm saying? I'm equal. If you look at my Twitter feed, I give it up to all sides. I don't have, and that's why I'm not liked. And I like being not liked. And the people that actually listen to me like me not being not liked. Because guess what? When I'm close to the target is when you get the most flack. And I'll turn the mic over.
What? Am I supposed to respond to the same stupid shit again? I'm not doing that. Like, literally, the reason we got here. The tweet that was highlighted literally shits on everything he just said.
Yeah.
Everything he just said.
Yeah.
It literally shits on everything he just said. As I both called out Democrats and Republicans, yeah. I didn't pick a winner. I didn't pick a loser. I wasn't cheering and rah-rahing for a team.
Yeah.
None of it. So everything in one tweet delegitimizes all the bullshit he just said. And I'm going to let that stand on itself and trust people to understand the difference.
I just want to repeat back the subject of today's debate. There are two ways to keep the issue of race on the forefront. One, make it the main issue surrounding everything. Democrat. Two, pretend it doesn't exist like the Republicans do.
That's me saying Democrats good, Democrats bad, Republicans good. That's me taking one side over the other.
No, that's why I wanted to talk to you. You made that statement.
And the other side is going to fix them all.
Hold on. That's why I reached out to you when you said that. But when you came on this platform, you began to talk about progressivism. And if you look up the definition of the word, is generally considered social democratic and part of the American left. You made a left-right conversation when you used that word to replace white supremacy.
Why? Because there aren't progressive Republicans.
No, I just said generally considered socially democratic and part of the American left.
Are there progressive Republicans? So I didn't make it a left-right thing. I made it an ideological thing.
No,
correct.
That word is synonymous with Democrat and left.
It is not synonymous. It is synonymous with an ideology. It is synonymous with a way of thinking. The very first progressive in America was a Republican in Teddy Roosevelt.
That's true.
So what are you talking about?
That's true. He is the father.
I just said it again. That word is synonymous with Democrat and left.
Like, if he just repeats it enough, it's going to change
What you're trying to do is what the Democrats do and give a word a different definition. We can't do that.
No, what she's saying is that you may believe that the term progressivism is exclusive to the left. She's saying she's educated on what's happening in America. She's discovered that it's not, has nothing to do with a political party. It's an ideology, and it could be either Republican or Democrat. It just so happens that right now it's synonymous with Democrat.
And the Republicans that are progressive just don't call themselves progressive. Those are the ones that you look at, like the rhinos or the establishment or the neocons. So they're the ones that mess with the language, not me. It doesn't change the fact that they are still under the exact same ideology, which I said ideology.
She said ideology.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Being in politics, using the correct terminology that one in politics would use.
Yeah, I don't know why you would want to challenge, you know, the concept that progressivism is an ideology. I don't know why you.
I didn't challenge it. What I said is it's synonymous with left and Democrat.
How is it synonymous?
I'm not saying it's not
synonymous. How is it synonymous with left and Democrat?
Once again, I can't finish the sentence. I don't know how you do this professionally.
I'll
use this 50 seconds to wrap up.
Hold on. I'm gonna set the timer, actually. We're gonna set the timer. Set the timer, 60 seconds.
I'm gonna use this 60 seconds to wrap up because I got somewhere to be at 4 o'clock. Like I said, I may be found to be difficult because I don't have a political ideology. I use logic. I look at what's in front of me. I respond to it. I process it through logic. When you get into politics, that gets very messy. As we know, when you're on the right, you can't say anything bad about guns. You can't bring up white supremacy, and you can't bring up reparation. Those are trigger words. When you bring those up, just like on the left, you can't say anything about black people being mentally free. That's a big trigger for them. you can't bring up anything. Capitalism is a big one for them, and so on and so forth. So I understand when I brought up white supremacy, it was going to be a problem. But the thing to say this, I came into this because when she made that tweet, I was like, oh, okay, she's coming to the center where I'm at with that tweet, and I would like to talk about it. But if you say coming into conversation, you thought you were going to cuss me out and you had to have a moderator, I find that very disingenuous because I was coming to a place where we could be talk about what we agree upon. And that's why I said on Twitter, I didn't want this to be a ratchet yell fest. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like O'Shea Dukes Jackson Rumbles that I used to be part of. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't my first rodeo. So that with that said, like I said, this was clearly a backdoor. It is what it is. It's Griff season.
Pause.
I respect the Griff.
I'm wrapping up. How you supposed to play with a bitch like this? How you supposed to play with, like, come on, man. Come on. Like, seriously. Seriously. Right? So if it was a backdoor, I would get this shit off of air where nobody could saw it and get ahead and get you the business like that. I literally wanted people to see it because I thought we could have an actual intelligent conversation. But yes, I do know how I am. And see again, with the slick little black back hair comments you tried to throw
in. No, I said
in.
You did give me the shit. I said
I
you gave me the business.
To turn to an all out yell fest. Excuse me. All that tells me is you have never watched me say, do, or have any interview ever. Because if you think anything about what I am doing right now makes you special or makes me triggered, you have lost your damn mind. This is me 100% of the time, every single time I'm doing any kind of fucking interview. This is not for you to feel special about because somehow my energy came out for you. No, boo-boo. This is Sunny's energy. This is just how I am. And your backhanded insults are not going to stop that. Nor is this simple fact. Every single person who has listened to me for any amount of time already knows how I feel about Republicans and how I take and put my foot, my boot on the Republican necks. They can watch me when I go to CPAC. They can watch me when I'm in the White House. They can watch me when I go on Fox News. I have plenty examples of how I handle myself when I am talking about the Republican Party and how I handle any conversation related to them. So anyone that sits up and tells me that I am making some kind of choice in the political arena about which side is bad and which side is good is full of shit. And my record says that clearly. So either Mo didn't want to check the record, or this entire shit has been a gaslighting liar endeavor that I'm glad I got Hotep to actually moderate instead of me handling myself because I'd have lost my shit.
Well, actually, I came into the conversation let you speak for yourself. I didn't have to do any background check or anything like that because I was coming to talk about what we agree upon.
No, but see, your backhanded comments is why I brought that up.
It's not backhanded comments.
Stop acting like I ain't from where I'm from, bro. Like, stop playing with me like I don't understand exactly what's going on here. Like, I lived through this and grew up in this shit, too. Stop fucking playing with me. I would rather, just like you said, when it comes to Trump talking about the oil and being like, no, we gonna come and take your oil. I like that better. At least be honest. I would rather have that from you and fucking be honest. If you want to say that I'm loud, this, that, or the other, at least I have the fucking nuts to come out and say it instead of trying to backhand it, as you say, when it comes to leveling your little insult. Again. My skin is thick.
I have no problem with your loudness.
You don't bother me. I saw what you did to Hotep, so I was expecting you to do it now. I was hoping that you would just be a little bit better having me here as an influence on you, not him. But that's maybe my ego going a little too far. I'll take the L on that, but I'll be damned if you're going to sit and call me a liar. I'll be damned if you're going to gaslight me. I'll be damned if you're going to lie on my record. I'll be damned if you're going to lie on my legacy or misrepresent what I actually believe and stand for. Nah, I'm not fucking doing that. I'm not going to stand idly by and let you do that.
Speaking for the record, let's just be clear where this conversation went off the rails at. Same way with Hotep Jesus is when I use the term white supremacy. And I understand that maybe.
Like Mo, you have used that term 5,689 times.
And I'm
going to
keep using it. And I'm
going to
keep using it because it's effective.
You have used it.
It's effective.
Nobody bats an eye at that. The only person that thinks it's significant is you. The only person that gives it relevance is you. The only one that gives it power. Is you. I have been married to my husband 23 years. My daughter is in college. She's about to graduate with a double degree in chemistry and biology. Everything is good in my world, Mo. It's nothing that you got that's going to tell me how somehow you saying white supremacy is going to put some magical alarm bell off in my head. I never went to college, Mo. I have everything I have, never ever setting foot in the fucking college, Mo. So nothing you tell me about white supremacy is going to make me shake or quiver in my boots because I did it my motherfucking self. Just like you said, we should.
I said the term, like I said, it's four o'clock.
I fixed myself. I created a beautiful family.
Listen,
and white supremacy ain't going to stop that.
Listen,
with that being said, I'll let you go, Mo. I know you got to go. I appreciate it.
All right, God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sonny Johnson, thank you. Mo, thank you. I'm going to go to the phone callers. Very epic conversation. This was historical. I'm glad I got to be a part of this.
I appreciate you, bro. I told you. I knew.
I know. I know.
I'm going to go listen to your phone calls and watch your people talk shit to me now.
I'll see you soon, sis. Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with the callers.